and the rest will only distract his attention. Score counting must be avoided. Secondly, he will be wise to keep off the regular course as long as possible, for as soon as he plays 18 holes, he will begin to count his score and trouble the handicapper. This is the most prevalent disease among young golfers, and one that will check his progress more than anything else. I may be pardoned, therefore, for dwelling a moment upon the subject. The average beginner finds it very difficult to understand why he should be warned against this score-counting habit, arguing, with some show of plausibility, that the lowering of one's record is a strong incentive toward improvement in the game. He forgets, however, that apart from the fact that his endeavors to get below the 100 will make him unfit for human companionship, the mere anxiety to succeed in a nominal and numerical way must have a bad effect upon his style. He will adopt any and every method whereby he may the more readily reach the hole. Some friend will give him a piece of advice which will make him more accurate for the time being, but will sacrifice for him all hopes of ever hitting the ball in the right way, so that finally, by the time he has surprised himself by going the whole round of 18 holes in 99 strokes, without a single effort of the imagination, and has won several useless and inartistic cups, he will find that he has forfeited all possibility of becoming a first-class player. It would be a good rule, then, for every beginner to refuse to count his score until he has played 6 months. And above all, let him remember that it is better to miss the ball 50 times in succession in the right way than to hit it once by some inauthentic trick. Use a wooden club. It will be best for our novice to retire with his caddy or his advisor to some remote locality with plenty of old balls and only one club. That club must be of the wooden variety. The shaft should be strong but not too clumsy, with just a little spring at the lower end. The head should be a bulger. It is a mystery to me why every beginner is taught to play with an old-fashioned, long-headed driver. It would be just as sensible to offer a young tennis player one of the old lopsided rackets to learn the game with. The bulger is not only the best kind of head for experts, but it was especially invented to obviate the faults which are most inherent in young players. The compact form of the head makes accurate hitting far more easily, and the bulge is intended to counteract all tendencies to slice and pull. The angle of the head with the shaft should not be too obtuse. Tastes vary, of course, on that point, but the general fault in wooden clubs is that the air in not being sufficiently upright. The position of the hands. The club having been selected, attention should be given to the grip. There are only two possible positions for the hands in driving, and they are shown on the next page. The position of the left hand is the same in both cases. The shaft of the club must be gripped firmly in the palm in such a way that when the ball is addressed, the fingers, with the exception of the third joint of the first finger and the second joint of the thumb, are invisible. There is no other way of holding the club in the left hand. And yet, I have seen numbers of beginners who have been coached for weeks holding the left hand underneath the club to such an extent that the first and second joints of the fingers are plainly visible above the shaft. The most casual trial will prove that the latter method is quite incompatible with an easy swing. With regard to the right hand, there are two opinions among the experts. Generally speaking, the best players hold the club lightly but not loosely in the fingers of the right hand in such a manner that the thumb lies across the upper surface of the shaft, with the first joints of the fingers barely visible. This has always been the accepted book form, and the beginner will probably find it wise to adopt it, unless the second way is distinctly easier for him. In the second illustration, it will be observed that the club is grasped firmly in the palm of the right hand, and the hand is held under the shaft, so that the second joints of the fingers are clearly visible above it. Although I should favor the first position, there can be no doubt that the second way has been made enormously effective in the hands of many of the best players, both professional and amateur. It is a marked peculiarity of the St. Andrews players, who probably learned it from the Kirkcaldy brothers, but it is certainly not confined to St. Andrews. Mr. John Ball, Jr., to mention no others, holds the club tightly in the palm of the right hand, and if the pole could be taken,